Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to Psalms 34. Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, O ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I want to preach to you tonight, God being my helper for just a little while. I want to preach to you on God's happy child. God's happy child. You and I both understand that if you're much of a Bible student, which many people pack their Bible, but they never study it, there's a whole lot of difference between owning one and knowing one. Somebody say amen. I believe everybody should have a Bible. But I believe a Bible unstudied is a witness against you. For the same Bible that you have in your possession says that we should study it to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So an unused Bible is a witness against us. You say amen. I want to preach to you about God's happy child. All God's children should be happy. And you say amen. Amen. Happy. But I wonder if we was to take a survey, I wonder sometimes and oftentimes we're not. And sometimes we are very unhappy. But what we need to understand is these blessings He's given to us are to incite in us a happiness. You may not like the word happy, but that's what the word blessed means. When it said blessed is the man, it means happy is the man. Somebody say amen. When it says in verse 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in him, it literally means happy is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is interchangeable with the word happy. So before you throw happy out the window with the wash, you ought to really wring it out and take a good look at it, because it's something that ought to be in you. I know joy. But then there is a sense of happiness that can come when only God is with us. We have a lot of things that should make us happy. Look at some of the things. We have His church to belong to. And it is His church. He bought it with His own blood. He is the head of it. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. But we are the body of Christ. We are His church, His bride. That ought to make us happy. If you find a young lady that is espoused or engaged to somebody and she's unhappy, you should talk her out of getting married. It ain't going to get any better. So if you find somebody going to church and they're not happy, you tell them, Paul said, I've espoused thee to one. We are to really be happy because He has chosen us. Amen. We have His people to go to heaven with. What blessed fellowship there is among God's good people. Amen. We have our faith and our worship. We even have this glorious fellowship that stretches from the north to the south and the east to the west. All of God's children will accept you in this holiness movement. We are to be happy that we're not by ourselves. Praise God. Then, we are to be happy just because we have the Lord Himself. Praise God. That are enough to make you happy. Somebody said the other day, they were telling me how happy they was. I said, wait a minute. You need to tell your heart to inform your face. You look like you're dying and you tell me how happy you are. It just don't register with me. I think a happiness creates a countenance that shows forth happiness. I think joy is something that you cannot keep bottled up. I was in the 82nd Airborne down in North Carolina, 504 Division, and I was a country boy, so therefore, when I found some apple cider, I got me some and took it back to the barracks. I was an NCO, so I had my own room. Neglected cider is not good cider. One day, trying to contain that cider, there was a small explosion in my room that I had to clean up. Joyous like that. You can't can this stuff.
All right.
You can't hold it back. If you really got it, it's going to show.
Right. Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Happiness, it's going to show. Joy, it's going to show. If you got it in your heart, inform your face. For happiness about everything that we have been blessed with, we should be the happiest people that's ever lived. Well, I must try to hurry through this preaching and get you to the place where you can come and pray. The thing that God desires of us and will show us in this psalm is that He wants His people to be three things. He wants them to be holy. He wants them to be helpful, and He wants them to be happy. He wants them to be holy because He's holy. Nobody can argue that point. The reason that we even attempt to live holy is to please Him. If holiness did not please the Lord, there would be no sense in living it. But since we know that He wants us to be holy, and we are living so to please Him, then it behooves us to be happy in living a holiness life. Amen. And then if we're happy and we're holy, we'll be helpful. Praise God. How many believe that?
Yes.
If you're happy and you're holy, you'll be helpful.
Yes.
You'll help somebody else to be holy so they can be happy and they can help somebody else to live holiness. The reason that we have such an undergrounding current is we have so many folks that are unhappy in holiness. They feel like they're duty bound to live holy. You're not duty bound to live anything. If you don't do it because you love Him, you're never going to do it at all. But if you love Him and you do it, you'll be happy to do it because you love Him. Oh, wish you'd help me preach. First, look at this with me. Why are God's children happy? I need to answer the question. I'm going to try to answer it from this 34th Psalm. I want you to dig in there with me tonight as we try to preach for a few minutes. I want you to dig in this Psalm with me. If you don't have your Bible open in your lap, open it. Look at the 31st Psalm. I don't care if you read it while I'm preaching, but don't let it slip. Get this opportunity to find a source of happiness. If you're unhappy in holiness, then you need to turn it around. You're getting the cart before the horse. You need to put everything back in perspective. It's the horse that pulls the cart, not the cart that pulls the horse. Get it right. The reason we serve Him is for joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the reason we serve Him is because we're happy to do so. Because He forgave us such a sin debt that we owe Him so much. God's people are happy because they have all of their thoughts established. I don't know how many times I have talked to people here lately, and they have forgotten that we are to cast down every thought that exalts itself against Christ. A lot of times unhappiness is just a breeding stagnant pool that breeds these horrible thoughts. If a free-flowing joy and happiness is flowing through your being, you won't get caught in the stagnated pool of bad thoughts. It won't matter to you if nobody else lives it. You'll live it by yourself because you're happy to do it. Amen. Look at verses 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Amen. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Look at this psalmist's thoughts. Look at him. Look at this most important word. Do you found it? Have you found it yet? Have you found that most important word? Don't look at the big ones. Look at that little three-letter word. All. Look at it. This is what it says. I will bless the Lord at all times. The sense of happiness is having restraint on your thinking. If you let the devil, he'll plant a thought in your mind. It will seep into your heart. Praise God. We must learn to bring our thoughts. We must learn to bring them under subjection. We must say to ourselves, I am to praise Him at all times. Now, if you're praising Him at all times, how are you going to have time to chase that bad thought around? If you're busy and your mind is consumed upon how good God has been to you, how can you hold a grudge? How can you not forgive? How can you have unpleasant thoughts when you're continually at all times praising Him? Amen. Look at it again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You say, then what are we to praise Him about? What are we to do this, blessing the Lord? It is my soul making her boast in the Lord. And the humble that have been saved, just like you, will never get tired of hearing your soul make her boast in the Lord. Praise God. Somebody say, praise God. All of us should learn to praise the Lord all the time. Does that sound charismatic? Says who? The Bible says it. Long before there was ever a new rain, latter rain, any rain, charismatic movement, there was the old King James Version. When there wasn't nothing else to be read, there was the old King James Version that said it very simply, I will praise the Lord at all times. Amen. What David is saying, whether things are pleasing or painful, I'm going to praise Him. Whether the sun is shining or the sky is covered with clouds, I'm going to praise Him. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. You explain it. If you've got a better explanation than what this Bible says, you explain it. It is gospel. It is written. It is engraved in heaven. It will never fail. When we get there, God is going to ask us, why were you so unhappy when I gave you so much? Praise God. We've got more clothes than we've ever had. More things than we ever had. We're worth more than we ever thought. Somebody say amen. None of us are starving to death. Nobody's got a tin cup and some pencils sitting out there on the highway panhandling. We all come into this. None of us had very much. But what we have, the clothes on my back, the roof over my head, everything that I am, I can contribute to the Lord. For when I got saved, I had nothing to give Him but a wrecked and ruined life. Then He took over management, as Brother Rich said, that famous sermon which he borrowed from somebody else, under new management. That's where we came. Under new management. And when the Lord started managing this wreck soon got straightened out. Somebody say amen. How many wrecks did I have out here? Any honest men that will raise one hand and say, I was one. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? We owe everything we have to the Lord and we sit here and can't even praise Him continually. There ought to be a glory to God breaking loose, a hallelujah wanting to scream out. There ought to be a praise the Lord every time we look, no matter what it is, good times, bad times, right times, wrong times, up times, down times, no part of times, any time, is the right time to praise the Lord. Let him that hath breath praise the Lord. We're commanded to do it. We're asked to do it. We've been given the ingredients to do it. The Holy Ghost is in us. He is from heaven. And in heaven, He is praised continually. Angels do it. Seraphims do it. Cherubims do it. Everything in heaven praises Him. It's only on earth where the great work of grace is done that we sit so quiet. Everybody else is crazy about this salvation and wants everybody else to have some of it. And what we should do is to inform the world, I'm not sad I got saved. I'm happy I got saved. I'm not sad I live right. I'm happy I live right. Oh, it should help me preach. You see, we must feed into this equation the work of our Heavenly Father. We must bring Him into it. For it is He who is gracious and loving. It is He who has promised to make all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, the called according to His purpose. It is God working these things in us. It is God superintending our life. It is God bringing His will to pass in our life. Therefore, we ought to be a happy people. Somebody shout amen. You say, well, I know about that praising the Lord at all times. Then let's go to that prison scene that is so popular in holiness preaching. Let's go into that dim prison where there's no electric lights and no running waters. Let's go into that prison to where there's nothing but straw on a dirty floor. Let's go into that prison where rats roam free and roaches are plenty. Let's go in there where there's no place to take a bath and no place to get a drink. Let's go in there to where there is no sewer and there is no facilities. And you smell the stink of the place when you first approach it. And there you'll hear at the midnight hour two men with bloody backs aching all over, singing praises and psalms unto the Lord. Tell Paul you can't praise Him at all times. Paul, you got to feel good to praise Him. Tell Paul everything's got to be right to praise Him. You got to be in church to praise Him. Tell him the sun's got to shine and you got to feel its warmth on your back. The roses have got to be blowing on the wafering wind. You got to have the right climate to praise Him. Tell Paul that in the Roman dungeon when he writes to Timothy and said, I say rejoice. And again he said, I say rejoice evermore. There is no situation too bad to praise Him. God's people are a happy people because God has banished all their fears. Look at verse 4. Look at it with me. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, did you catch that? Then come with me a little closer, my precious people, and let's look at that. Let's look again for that most important word in that verse. And look at it again, and you'll find it not in the big words, but again in the little three-letter word, all. When God banishes your fears, He doesn't do two or three. He banishes them all. Look, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. If you ever done a study on phobia, then you will know it is something that the human family can have so many fears. Afraid of water, afraid of height, afraid of a caller, afraid of a movement, afraid of the dark, afraid of a graveyard, afraid of travel, afraid of this, afraid of that, until we are a people dominated with fear. And break it down, our greatest fear is the fear of living. For we don't know what tomorrow holds. And we're afraid to face it and afraid to go to it. But listen to what the psalmist said again. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. You know why this word all is so important? It's because it covers it all. It covers it all. Whatever fear you've got, it covers it. He delivers from all fear. There's not a fear He can't deliver you from. There's not a fear because fear has torment and God don't want you to be tormented. God wants you to be happy. He gets no joy out of you jumping at your shadow. He gets no joy out of you afraid to live or afraid to die, afraid of this and afraid of that. You will have torment. Fear of living. Listen, nobody said, this poor man. What did this poor man do? What did he do? This poor man sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. Have you tried praying yet? Have you really tried praying through yet? Have you ever really tried praying till you get close enough to the Lord that his shadow can banish all your fears? Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Did you ever pray through and get in the Spirit? How afraid was you then? Look out. You wasn't afraid of nothing. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You weren't afraid of dancing and stepping on somebody. You didn't dance with one eye open and one eye shut. You didn't send a runner in front of you to clear a path. I watched Sister Varney, Tim's mom down there at Brother Randy's. She got happy one night. That's what we call it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting happy.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear anybody call it getting happy?
Yeah.
I got happy. Well, Sister Varney got happy. The only problem was everybody was in the aisle and around the front. Little Sister Varney, I watched her because I said, well, this is going to prove it one way or the other.
Yeah.
Both eyes closed. Here she went chugging, just a whirling and going and talking in tongues and going down through there. And she'd come right up to somebody. I thought, this is it. You're going to run into him and you're going to be embarrassed. He's going to be embarrassed. Not with the Holy Ghost and not when you get happy. You have no fear of running into anybody. She didn't go around for hands like a blind man in front of her, feeling. Amen. No. She just went down through there, praise the Lord, with her eyes shut, talking in tongues, and never hit a person, never bumped a person. Just slid in and out and around among them, just like a lady. She just glided in the Spirit of the Lord and just had herself a time being happy in the Lord. If you'd ask her, are you afraid right now? She would have said, no, I'm not afraid of anything. I would have been afraid as big as I am with my eyes open trying to get through there without stepping on a toe or being inappropriate somehow. But the Holy Ghost that'll put you in that state of happiness will banish all your fear. Somebody shout amen. Oh, I'm afraid to do it. Don't be afraid. If the Holy Ghost has got it, He's got it. Amen. You don't have to be afraid. If the Holy Ghost has got it, He's got it. I said, if the Holy Ghost has got it, He's got it. If the Holy Ghost can't do it, you can't do it. I can't do it. But if the Holy Ghost will do it, then we ought to be happy. He's a working in us. God's people are happy because all their sins are covered. Look again. Look again with this psalm with me. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces was not ashamed. They looked unto Him and were lightened. The burden rolled away. Sin has an end. I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. Don't tell me I didn't know when they rolled away. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. You can tell me because I didn't get baptized in water, I didn't save, I'll laugh at you. I was there when it happened. I know when my burdens rolled away. Somebody said, well, you didn't get baptized in the name of Jesus. I'll laugh at you again. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that I could lift my head and look up to heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I remember the night that my hands came up and my heart wanted to embrace Him, and I wanted to hold Him, and I wanted to tell Him I loved Him. That was not in my life until the night that I was lightened, amen, and I beheld His face. And I was not ashamed. I was no longer ashamed. I was not ashamed. My past was gone. I was not ashamed. For one time in my life, I was not ashamed. I stood before God unashamed. I stood looking at God unashamed. What happened? The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all sin. And I was happy that I got saved. Psalms 32 said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in his spirit is there is no guile. Happy is he whose transgressions is forgiven." How many really got saved? Was you happy the night you got saved? I remember the next day when my buddies picked me up to take me to work. It was an hour's drive, so in the morning, nothing was open. I knew I had it made. I just laid back and went back to sleep. Went in there and worked all day, but I knew coming home was a different story. For there was always that old watering hole where we all filed out and we all went in. That day we pulled up the old watering hole and the doors flew open and here they all went. And here I sat. They said, "You broke? Oh, come on, I'll take care of you." I said, "No, I'm not broke." They said, "What's wrong with you then? You sick?" I said, "No, I'm not sick." They said, "What's wrong? Come on." And I said, "No, if you'll be my friend, just bring me out a Coke." And they said, all right, what is it?" I said, "I got saved last night. I got saved last night. I wasn't sad about it. I was happy about it. I wasn't going to go back to it. I was so saved, I was happy about it. I was happy I didn't have to go in there. I was happy I didn't have to listen to it. I was happy there was nothing in me that wanted to go in there again. I was happy I got saved." Somebody shout amen. Oh, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. That is the happiness of sins forgiven and washed away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. To them there is now no condemnation, for they are in Christ Jesus. That ought to make us happy. Amen. Well, God's people are happy because they have their prayers answered. Look at me. I'm reading to you this right out of the book here. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble." Look again with me. Verse 15. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." The righteous cry. Verse 17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Let's look at this good word again. What is that most important word? Did you find it? Did you find it? There it is in verse 6. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of." What? All his trouble. Saved him out of all his trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. "The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. That verse again, that verse there with that word "all," that's when the man is in the midst of trouble. It's when he's surrounded by it, when he cannot handle it, when it's raised up like a roaring tide that's coming in on him. It's like the wave of a tidal wave coming in and slamming everything in its way. It's like being surrounded by enemies. This man is in the midst of the trouble. But when he prays, when he prayed, when the righteous man cried, the Lord heareth and the Lord delivereth them out of all their trouble. When the righteous cried, the Lord hear and delivered them out of all their trouble. When the righteous cry, somebody believe in prayer, say amen. Let's put it in our language. When the righteous pray, the Lord will hear and the Lord will deliver out of part of your trouble. No, out of all of your trouble. When the righteous pray, the Lord will hear from heaven and the Lord will look down and the Lord will deliver out of all their trouble. He prayed. That's a wise man. He prayed. God's people are happy because they have all their enemies scattered. You have enemies? The Bible said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord. Do you know why we are so unhappy? It's because we can't see who goes with us in and out. Every day, we keep elite company, never alone. Holy Ghost is with me, Son of God is with me, Father is with me, and angels encamp round about me. You say, well, don't you believe in a devil? I talked to a woman who's seen a demon and everything. I said, lady, if you ever meet one, if you ever meet somebody who's got a demon, you won't be talking so lightly about demons. If she had a pain, it was a demon. Demon in this hall, demon in that room, demon over here, demon over there. And she thought more about demons than she did God. I'm going to tell you why demons have a hard time with you. I'm going to tell you why demons don't knock your doors down. I'm going to tell you why demons don't flatten your tires. I'm going to tell you why demons don't afflict you. Can I tell you why they don't? Listen again. Right here it is. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The devil's got to get through all of that to get to you. Got to get through the angels assigned to minister to you. Got to get through the Holy Ghost. Got to get through the Son of God. Got to get over power, the God Almighty. I can tell you why demons don't run you out of your house, because they can't get in your house. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Don't despise not one of these little ones. Why? Because these little ones have big angels guarding them. Somebody said amen. This is the New Testament. It says, are not all ministering spirits, talking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Are we not heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Then guess who's trying to feed us at the Master's table? Guess who brought the basket of manna from heaven tonight? Guess who would love to touch you so you could feel heaven's nearness? Guess who would love to open your eyes so you could see what was in your way? You remember Balaam, don't you? Balaam didn't believe in angels being so close until his donkey rebuked the madness of that prophet and got his eyes open and he saw an angel ready to slay him. That angel would have been his guard. That sword would have been to defend him if it had been right. Somebody say amen. Oh, come on, say amen. Amen. The weapons of the Lord are not carnal. He doesn't need what you need to protect you. He's got enough angels, he can encamp them about you. Yeah. Amen. He can guard you, encamp about you. He can encircle you. He can be above you, around you, underneath you. He can be in front of you, behind you, on the right and on the left. God can do it because God has the ability to do it. And he will dispel your enemy. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Thank you, Lord.
You ready? Wow! enough to make you just get jittery. That's enough to make you want to try to do something supernatural. Just to see if God will really bear you up in His hands. Hey man, one year down at Bond, I actually seen this with my own eyes. Brother Crane got happy. Richard Crane, you know, that wears the pants loose and the suspenders and looks like sometimes his pants are going one way and he's going the other. Precious Richard Crane. I seen him get happy and shout toward the end of Bond's platform, and I literally seen him step out on nothing and turn and come back. I love my God. My God, we're in revival. My God, you're close. You see, sometimes we get so busy doing nothing that we don't see nothing. You get so busy looking up here, looking at me, said, come on, preacher, do something else. And you're the old bozo, the clown. Come on, pull a rabbit out of your hat. Do something. You got to make me smile. I've come to church tonight for you to make me happy. I don't have no happy potion. I've got good news for you that God will make you happy. I can't make you happy. The church can't make you happy. Your husband can't make you happy. Your wife can't make you happy. Your children can't make you happy. But there's a God in heaven, if you'll give Him half of your time, can make you happy. Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. Daniel believed in Him. In a crisis time, he said, that angel came through. That angel came through. Look again. Peter, chained between two guards, locked in the inner chamber. And an angel came through what? To get to him. We don't know. But whatever it was, wasn't enough to keep him out. He came right down to where Peter was sleeping, smote him on the side and woke him up and said, stand up. When he stood up, his chains fell off. He said, I'll gird your sandals on and follow me. And when the angel started going out, nothing could stop him. Doors open for him. When you think you can't get out, there's an angel of the Lord that can bring you out. Somebody shout amen. Well, I'm just about through. God's people are happy people simply because the Lord supplies all of their needs. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. There is no want to them that fear Him. Hallelujah. No want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. For there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Does that make you happy? If you're happy, inform your face. Right. Put a little smile on it. Because I want to preach to you in closing, there's no want in the Lord. If you are going to serve Him, you will say with the psalmist David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is my shepherd, I cannot want. He will see to it. If the Lord is my shepherd, how can I want? If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall never want. If the Lord is my shepherd, then my wants are satisfied by Him. And my wants go on a crash diet. Amen. You'd be surprised. The closer you get to the Lord, the less you want. Praise God. I think that's good preaching. We may do better next time, but I'm still preaching right now. I'm closing. I need you to turn with me to Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. This is my closing. Sister Sutherland, will you get me a song? I want to read something to you. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now look at this man. He had barns, but he had no soul. He had no God. He had barns, but that's all he had. But don't just stop there. Go with me in closing and read the rest of it. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And look ye here. Here's a fowl that doesn't have a soul, but has barns. Barns that he never built, storehouses that he never put together. His barn and his storehouse is God. And Jesus is comparing this man who had barns and no God to a fowl who has no barns, but God supplies his every need. Now I want to tell you, when you think you've got needs, you should think again. For if God's soul feeds the fowls. I was sitting on the porch last night about 9 o'clock. The sun was setting, cooling down, and I sit real still and watch the robins go on their, before bed snack. And I counted up to 20 robins that out here in the grass and on my lawn was out there all looking for supper. You know, none of them was standing there complaining. I didn't see one of them raise their head towards heaven and say, where are you when I need you? I just all of them going, hopping around, fluttering around, cocking their head, looking. And this all of a sudden, bang, there was supper. You know what they done? They pecked on a little bit, put in their mouth, and flew away. Supper's over. Then another, and another, and another, and another. There used to be, when the pit up here was open, the blackbirds fed out of there. That come night, they would come and almost blanket this field with blackbirds. More than one time, I've seen them rise to the sky and almost look like a cloud. And I said, and God feeds every one of you. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I lose count. And way over my head, as their wings sped away without a care, God feeds me. God is my supplier. God is my storehouse. And God is my barn. I'm not going to plow in the spring. I'm not going to reap in the fall. I just go all year long, depending on God. Have you ever seen them starve to death? I've seen them when they flew into something. I've seen them when a cat got too close to them. But I've never seen a mass death from starvation. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. We don't have wings, but we got something better than wings. We got faith. The sparrow wouldn't know how to spell it. He wouldn't know how to say it. But every morning when he opens his little throat and begins to chirp, he's saying to God, I'm awake, feed me.
I'm your responsibility. God never fails. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the morning if when we wake up, God would hear our voice saying, I'm awake, Father. I'm awake. I'm going to trust you and be happy because I can trust you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, come, sister. I'm a happy Christian. I really am. Somebody told me one time, said, you'll change. You'll change. And you get old, you'll change. I didn't know that I could argue the point then because I was so young and never been old. But now since I'm 60 and a senior citizen and got a golden Buckeye card to prove it, don't give me that stuff. I don't want to hear it. You don't have to change. You can trust him till the day you die. And you can die happy in the Lord. You can die blessed in God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand.